If you're remaining with me in here, if you'd turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. We'll begin reading at 7. I finished verse 7, but we'll start with it because it sort of makes the thought right. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I thought I heard Steve Dalross. Welcome home. Praise the Lord.
Good to be here.
Good to have you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. And we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful God, that you hear our prayers. You forgive us our sins.
Amen.
You restore our fellowship.
Amen.
And Lord, you give us a right spirit again. Oh God, I pray that you give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I pray that everyone here will get the message that you have for them. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at the principle, and it's a great principle. It works in every area of life, in farming, in finances, in spiritual things. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap what you sow. That's the reason why these parents take so much time trying to talk to their kids saying, don't sow those wild oats. They're going to come up. One of my first pastors after I got saved is a young man is living on a farm, and his dad laid down the law, you've got to get this field planted before you can go to town. So he went up and down about halfway through the field, and then it was getting late. He wasn't going to make it to town. So he went off over and dug a hole and put the rest of the seed in there and covered over and went to town. He said it wasn't long that seed began to come up, and here it was all across the field where he spread it out and then one clump and nothing else. Man, what you sow, you reap. And then his daddy reaped some more on him. You learn after a while it's best that you don't sow wild seed.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I know the devil likes to make us think we can sow wild seed and get away with it. Because he'll point you to somebody who seems to have gotten away with it. Understand me, friend, nobody gets away with it. Now, they may get away with it even in this life, but I guarantee you there's a judgment coming. There's a day one day when you stand before the judge that's not influenced by your personality or your stature or your money or anything you've got. Nothing but truth. And every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment, the Bible says. If we're going to give account for our idle words, what are we going to give for all those words we said meaningfully? We meant them when we said them. We weren't just flapping the jaws a little bit and letting something come out of our mouth. You're going to be judged. So he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a fool out of God. So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the reaping time is going to come. That's the reason why we do our best to tell people to keep short accounts with God. As soon as you can, as soon as you recognize you've sinned against God, do something about it. Confess it and forsake it.
Amen.
Now, that is a principle, and that works, my friend. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's finances. That's farming. That's gardening. And that's the kind of life you live. Now, I want to start with verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's pretty simple. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, what were the works of the flesh? Look back at verse 10 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 10. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. I mean, it's clear, it's open. You don't know what the works of the flesh are? Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. That's sexual lust. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I mean, he said, if I didn't list it for you, if it's anything like what I'm talking about, that's a work of the flesh. He just included it all in there. Now, if you're living any, you don't have to live all of them. You want to get in real trouble? Just live one of them. Just decide you don't have to listen to your parents or your preachers or your teachers or the law. Just pick any one of them and decide, I'm going to throw this in the face of God. You'll reap it. And you will come to regret it. And you'll come to the place one day you think, what a fool was I. I was very, very foolish. And you'll give the testimony that some of the people in this room give. I did it, but I'm sorry I did it. I used to live that way. I used to think I could get away with it, but it's cost me a lot more than the fun I thought I was having. And the longer you let it fester, it's just like a festering wound. You got a boil and you don't take care of it. You got an infection and you don't take care of it. And the longer you let that thing fester, the more damage it's going to cause you. So keep short accounts with God. So he says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, that boil, when it comes out, now this is going to be a little bit gross. I'll try not to be too gross. That's called corruption. It's ugly, isn't it? It's smelly, isn't it? Man, it'll turn your stomach, won't it? Man, you don't like that. You got a festering sore? You know what that'll do to you? That'll cripple you. That'll put you in the hospital. One little sore on one foot can attack your whole body until you got yourself real problems. He's talking about a spiritual thing here, friend. You better deal with it. You got something you need to deal with? Do it. Said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's a shame when a born-again Christian lives like a lost man. That's a shame. It's a bad testimony. It hurts the church. It hurts them. Hurts the family. Hurts the kids. Hurts everybody. It's a shame. They don't look like they have life everlasting. Now, the truth of the matter is, when we examine all of us, we find all of us are more full of corruption than we are righteousness. Some of us get very self-righteous in our Christianity. And we look down our nose at people who do things especially that we don't like. I'm guilty of that. I'm a snob when it comes to Christianity. I'm a snob when it comes to the Bible. You don't use the King James Bible? Yeah, I'll look down my nose at you. You're just not smart enough yet. Yeah, one of these days you'll be smart as I am. Well, when you get to heaven, you will be. That's meant to be a joke. I really do believe it, but it depends on what you sow, friend. You can sow every day of your life. You have a choice. You're making choices all day long which way you're going to sow. You start it off in the morning when you pop out of bed, and you're still sowing when it comes down to go to bed. You're going to sow to the flesh. The result is corruption. By the way, that's corruption for a Christian or a lost man. I don't care which side you are. You can be just as lost can be, never make any claim to Christianity, or you can be just as saved can be, and claim that you are a born-again Christian. Whichever way you sow, the seed's going to come up. So you decide you can sow your flesh, you pay for it. Or you can sow to the Spirit. Now what do you get when you sow to the Spirit? He says, life everlasting. Well, there's a whole lot of things about the Christian life. I personally think it's a beautiful thing to have. I'm thankful for the things that aren't in my life. I'm thankful for the things that got out of my life when I really repented of them. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't just quit drinking. I mean, I was never drunk after 17 years old. I wasn't saved until I was about 21. But I was on my last drunk at 17. And I made such a fool of myself, I said, I don't ever want to get that much in me again. But I still drank. I would still drink with the buddies or whatever. I was a social drinker. You know, 1 out of 8 social drinkers becomes an alcoholic. How do I know I might have a problem? Well, you know, I didn't give up food. You see how much self-control I have? I mean, man, I got willpower. I have put hundreds of thousands of dollars into this table muscle. I exercise it regularly. In fact, from morning till night. Now let's just transfer that over. I don't drink. I don't take the first drink. I'm afraid of one drink. I'm afraid of one. I don't keep it in my house. I don't use it in my cooking. I didn't allow my kids to bring it in. What if I hadn't quit drinking? I might be an old drunk. I might already be dead. Because if you can't control food or some of the other things that you're dealing with, how are you going to control drugs? I've known some Christians get into drugs and never get off of them. Never. They ruin their testimony. They ruin their life. They ruin their kids, their family. What tragedy. Just tremendous tragedy. And yet, are you any stronger than them? You better not ever take it the first time. You better get afraid of that like I'm afraid of one drink. I got some old alcoholics in here. They'd testify to you. They're afraid of one drink. They go some places where people are giving the drinks out free and they decide they better leave. Yeah. Amen. They've been there. They've paid a price already. They don't want to pay anymore. You sow to this flesh, you reap corruption. That's right. Now how about sowing to the Spirit? How in the world can you sow to the Spirit? Thought about it? Now we already know how you can sow to the flesh. Right? I gave you a list of them right here. It's over in chapter 5. That's sowing to the flesh. How can you sow to the Spirit? Well, first of all, prayer. Amen. Talk to God. You believe there's a God? You believe that God loves you? Amen. Talk to Him.
Amen.
Talk to Him. He'll hear you. You talk to Him, He'll listen. You say, how in the world God listen to all these people? I have no idea, but He can. I don't explain God, I just believe God.
Amen.
What God says, I believe. I don't have a problem. Some people, well, how do you explain that? I don't explain it. People ask me all the time, Brother Lindell, what about this? What about that? I don't know. I've got a good answer. I just don't know. When you find the answer, come tell me and we'll both know. I don't know. There are several things in this book that just astound me. But oh, most of it's pretty clear. I've read it enough times. I've been teaching it 50 years. I know a little bit about a lot of things because this book comes. Now, there's some things in this book, no, I cannot explain it to you. I have no idea how it happened or even why it happened. There's a few things I said, oh God, why did you write it that way? I just don't understand it. And you come up to me and say, Brother Lindell, what about this? I don't know. But I tell you what I do know. It's just as clear from the Scripture. It's so clear from human nature. It's so clear from experience. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Now you start out by prayer, and then let's take the Word of God. You seek God's will. Not just what you want. Do you know, in my life, I haven't got a lot of things I wanted. A lot of things. Now, some of them, they hurt me pretty bad when I didn't get them. And looking at it from the perspective I am now, yeah, I'm an old man. Big, old, ugly, fat, diabetic. Yeah. That's all right. Hey, I'm thankful now from my position that God didn't answer some of my prayers. Oh boy, I asked for some things. I thought I really wanted them. I thought I really needed them, but God didn't answer my prayer. And it hurt me at the time. It was a challenge to my faith even at the time. And yet I look back on it now and say, thank you, Lord. You do all things well.
Amen.
How about reading the Bible and deciding God is right? And if I disagree with God, I am wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
God is right. It's a real simple conclusion to come to. If you're anywhere mature, you ought to be able to come to this conclusion. God is right.
Amen.
If I disagree with Him, I am wrong. Now what can I do about it if I'm wrong? What's the spiritual thing to do? Confess I'm wrong. When I taught school a number of years. I've seen kids just chewing gum. They had a rule, you know, no chewing gum. I don't know whether they even have that rule today. They may be able to have sandwiches in their chairs. I don't know what they're doing now. But in my day, no chewing gum. One of these kids, you know how some of you chew gum? You go... I mean, you just roll it around your mouth back and forth, and you got that all thing. And I just be sitting at my desk and say, Johnny, put your gum in the trash. I don't have any gum. Now, that makes me mad. Now, you want to see a big old fat man get mad? That makes me mad. I don't like to be... I mean, I just saw the stupid gum in your stupid mouth. What do you mean you don't have any gum? Well, God's somewhat the same way. God says, that's sin. You say, no, I'm all right.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm clean. I'm pure. You might lie to me. Probably wouldn't even get away with that. But lying to God?
Mm.
No. You make God mad. When He walks up to you and He brings conviction upon your heart, this is sin. You know it's sin. What are you going to do about it? You say, I don't have any sin. And wipe your mouth like the whore of Proverbs.
Yeah.
I have no sin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But what about if the kid just says, yes, sir, puts the gum in the trash can? No punishment.
Yeah. Right.
No big deal. He says, okay, you caught me. I have a way of thinking a long ways away. And yet, I'll be staring into space. My mind not on anything. But it was funny, so funny to me, so many times, some kid would get up and think I'd caught him because I was looking right at him, and I did not think about it till they got up and spit it out. It was just, you know, their guilty conscience. They gave it. Won't you do that with God? Because you see, I might have missed it, but God hadn't missed a thing. He ain't missed a thing. So what's a spiritual thing you could do? How could you sow to the Spirit rather than sow to the flesh? Make God right. Now that's sowing to the Spirit. God is right. He's never wrong. Now, a few times in my life, I've accused Him of it. Boy, it sure looks wrong to me. You ever had a controversy with God? I've had quite a few. I've had a few controversies with God. God, I don't like that. I don't like the way You're treating me. I don't like this situation I'm in. You know what I got to come around to finally, every time? You're right. I was wrong. You're right. Now that may not seem like a very big thing to you, but it is such a thing of attitude. And attitude is most of your life. At 17 years old, I stood up in front of my daddy and I was so furious. And my daddy was about my size, not ever as heavy as I am, but about my same size. And I doubled up my fist. I was furious. And my daddy took his old big left hand. Now the ring finger right there would not fit on his little finger. He had a hand. And he said, "Son, could you hit me?" And I'm looking at that hand. I thought, boy, if I do, I'm a bigger fool. I'm some kind of fool if I do hit this man. He'd wipe me out. Lay that big hand on me, he broke my neck. How about you and God? You get mad at God? You want to raise your fist at God? You want to tell God how He's doing it all wrong and mistreating you? Have you ever looked at the hand of God? And here's that what God does. I mean, you see the power in a tornado or a hurricane. You see the power in the fires in California. Or the Hurricane Katrina. And these are like nothing. Someone who could speak the world into existence. Put out the stars as a span of His hand. And you're going to mess with Him? You may be very, very brave, or you may be very, very stupid. I think stupid. My opinion. But that's an old man that's even tried a few of these things. Sometimes it does not pay you to have an attitude. And by the way, I know I may have told this story too, but One time I ordered my tags for my car through the mail. Now somebody stole those tags out of my mail. Texas Department of Public Safety, they mailed me my tags and they had their records, they mailed me my tags. I just ignored, think of the tags never came in the mail, I didn't put them on the car. 2 or 3 months later, I look and I don't have tags. I know it. So I check back. Did that check go through? The check went through. So I go down to the Texas Department of Public Safety and I go right back where I bought the tags, the first place, where they sell them. Oh, well, we can't help you after I waited in line for I don't know how long. You got to go all the way over to this other place over here, right out here at Callahan and 410. I was back over on Broadway out of Dunner. So I come over here and I wait in line. There's four lines. I wait in line. And I get finally up to this little girl right here. And I said, my tags never came to me, and so I need you to give me a new set of tags. Well, bring the old tags back in and we'll give you a new set. I said, lady, if I had the old tags, I wouldn't be here. I'm going to make a long story short. I spent all day running all around this town for $48. I made up my mind. I know I'm a very poor boy. But the next time, I'm just going to donate that $48 to the state of Texas and just give me a new set of tags. Some things aren't worth the trouble.
That's right.
They're not worth the trouble. And fighting God is not worth your trouble. How do you sow to the Spirit of God? You say, God is right, I am wrong. How do you sow to the Spirit of God? You repent of your sins. You confess them and say, I did this. You say, well, what if I've done it before? Of course you've done it before. Anybody in here just sin one time? You sin every day, you big dummy. That's the reason why that most of us, we have to have a little bit of patience with sinners. Don't we? Okay, this guy is a drunk and a drug addict. And you're just a glutton. Now, in our minds, the glutton is a lot better than the drunk and the drug addict, isn't he? Sure he is. And in reality, that's true. But before God, they're both just sinners. So what do? I go back to God. How do you sow to the Spirit of God? You not only recognize your sin, you repent of your sin. How do you sow to the Spirit of God? You seek the Lord. David was a great man, but he was also a great sinner. But you know what he did? He sought the Lord with all his heart. Seek you the Lord. Seek his face. Sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Well now, how do you sow to the Spirit? First of all, get saved.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not saved, you're just religious. You've been taught religion some in your life. Maybe you're a pretty good fellow or gal. But if you died right now, you'd split hell wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you're such a bigger sinner than anybody in the room, but because you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
You've never really repented your sins and taken Him and Him alone as your only mediator, your only priest, your only sacrifice. How do you sow to the Spirit? Take Christ as your Savior. That's the first thing. And then you pray to Him. Then you read His Bible. Then you try to seek His face and find out some things about Him. You try to live for Him. And boy, after a while, you learn to love Him. You feel real bad when you hurt Him. You're sowing every day. Now, the longer you spend sowing, the more seed you're going to get in the ground. Doesn't that just make sense? The longer you keep sowing, the kind of sowing you're doing, the more seed you're going to get in the ground. And what does that mean? The bigger crop you're going to raise. Old Elijah, he was a big-time farmer. I mean, he wasn't one little guy out there with two oxen and one plow. There were 12 of them. And he was with the 12th. I mean, they were doing some big time planting. 12 yoke of oxen. He was the 12th. I mean, he was a big time farmer for his day. You're sowing seed. Now, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you desiring His will? Are you confessing your sin? Are you sowing spiritual things? Or are you decided, no, I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than everybody in church. I'm smarter than all the preachers. I'm smarter than the Bible. I'm smarter than God. You're not. You're not. If I could impress upon you today, I'd impress upon you, God's a whole lot smarter than you'll ever be. And the quicker you figure that out, the smarter you're going to be. Ah, what a bit of wisdom the Lord gives you when you just take Him at His word. He makes the simple wise. The brilliant minds, He makes fools of them. He makes simple people wise when they just believe His word. When they sow to the Spirit. And I've seen example and example after that. All right, you want to reap life everlasting? Accept Christ as your Savior. You want to reap life everlasting and reap abundant life right here in this life? Then sow to the Spirit. and you are going to sow in the flesh. When you do, confess it and forsake it.
Amen.
Don't let your stupid pride keep you back from confessing your sin.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. Now here's one, something for you, my strong Christian friend, my soldier of the Lord, my member of the house of God. Let us not be weary in well-doing.
Amen.
We get weary in well-doing. I had a... When I was in service, first saved, I pastored this little church, mostly servicemen like myself and my wife. We won a bunch of people to the Lord. And one of the guys that I was witnessing to, I witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him, and about 3 hours one night, I got ready to leave, and he hadn't done anything. Couldn't get him saved. Couldn't get him to call on the Lord. Couldn't get him to quit his psychobabble he kept talking to me about. I'm getting ready to leave, and his little wife comes out from the other room and said, "Please, please, please don't go. I want to be saved."
Amen.
I hadn't talked to her at all.
Yeah.
I've been talking to him for 3 hours. But she's back behind the corner. She says, "I want to be saved." So she gets saved. So I went back to him, and I talked to him on another night again, several hours, witnessing to him. And I'd tell him, "Do you believe what I've said?" "Yes." "Would you get out on your knees right now and ask Christ to forgive your sins and save your soul?" "Well, you know, the devil brings a cloud over my head." And I went through this and that. And I said, "Do you want to get saved?" "Yes." "Get down and call on the Lord." "Well, I can't." "Do you want to get saved?" "Yes." "Get down here and call on the Lord." He said, "No." I said, "Well, then go to hell then." And walked out. He called me crying. He got saved. Me just telling him, "Go to hell then." I mean, "I've done everything I know how to do to get you saved." Well, if you're not going to take Jesus, you're going to hell. No religion in the world, no church in the world, no good works in the world can save your soul. It's Jesus or it's nothing, friend. Sometimes we get real weary in well-doing. I've laughed about it lots of times. I said, lots of Sunday nights I quit preaching. I have to start again on Monday morning. I get tired of people sometimes. I get tired of you sometimes. I go to the coast not so much to catch fish as just let those waves wash my mind of people. Wash all the people out, Lord. Wash all the people out so I can come back and face them again.
Yeah.
Dealing with people is one of the greatest jobs in the world. And it's also one of the most difficult jobs in the world. Because people are what? People. You know what you're like. You're hard to live with. Amen or oh me. Oh, no, you don't believe that. You're the sweetest person in the world. Yeah, you really are. I know when you tell me, you know, I get the wives and the husbands together when they're all fussing and fighting. I've been doing that for 50 years, too. I got to the place, it took me a long time, but I finally come to the place, I don't talk to you one-on-one. I want both of you there. So when you tell the first lie, they can contradict it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I want both of you there. I want to talk to both of you at the same time. Because this dear little sweet lady that I know is just an angel. She comes into the office and she tells me what this ugly, old, mean man did to her. And I'm ready to go whip that man. "Oh, let me hit him. Let me hit him. Oh, what a mean, sorry rascal." And then he comes in and tells me what a stubborn, unlikable thing she is. And how she treated it. Now I'm ready to go spank her. No. Dealing with people. Just two people in a house is a problem. Some of you people think about getting married.
It's going to solve all your problems? No. It's going to bring you a whole bunch more.
There's some you haven't even figured out yet. And when somebody married tells you about it, you won't believe them. But they're true. They're true. Bless your heart. Yeah. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You ever get weary? You missionaries get weary. Your preachers get weary. Your Sunday school teachers get weary. Soul winners, people knocking on doors, they get weary. Why do you think he put it in the Bible? Let us not be weary in well-doing. He put it in there because it is a standard response of people everywhere. And of Christians in all generations. They get weary. They get weary of the struggle. They get weary of the fight. They get weary of the opposition. They get weary of the lies. That little church I was pastoring, I was knocking on doors. I was teaching school every day, but I was knocking on doors every night. I remember one time I went out and I had the best week of visitation. Good night. I had 35 families going to come. They promised me. I prepared my sermon. Man, I'm going to have a full church. I got 35 families ready to come. Whoa! Not a single one showed up. Not one. And I have this big sermon for all these lost people, and I got my little covey of saved people sitting in front of me. That's where I learned to preach to both at the same time. Weary? Weary in well-doing? That's a common thing. How do you handle being weary in well-doing? Well, first is faith. Weariness is a test of your faith. Now, I know a lot of people on TV and whatever they tell you, just believe it, just believe it. If you believe it, it's going to be done. And you believe it, God's going to make you a millionaire. You're going to drive Cadillacs. You're going to have your own business. You're going to, boy, you got it all made. That's not Bible faith. You know what Bible faith is? Believing when nothing happens.
Amen.
You still believe God, though you don't see a thing. If your faith is not tested, it is not a strong faith. How does your faith get tested? God says it, you believe it, and it doesn't seem to happen in your life. Now, is God still right? Is God still true? Is the Word of God still true? Well, some people say, no, I give up. I'll throw the Bible away, throw my faith away, I'm gone. I prayed one time, God didn't answer, so I'm never going back again. Well, that's not faith. That's sight. Anybody can believe it when it's in your hand. Oh boy, I got $10,000 in my hand. I believe I got $10,000 in my hand. I believe it. I can see it. Faith is when you give it to somebody else to put in the bank for you, and if you still believe you got it. Faith is believing without any other proof than the Word of God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. How in the world can you keep on going? How in the world can you keep talking to people? You've talked to the last 50 people, not one of them called on the Lord. Why would you talk to another one, you being such a poor salesman? Faith.
Amen.
God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world. Do you know that most of the world is going to die and go to hell? Do you know that most of the world is going to reject the message you bring to them? Most of the world are going to think you are a fool. Most of the quotes Christian America are going to think you're a fool if you spend your time preaching the gospel or believing this book. Most of the so-called Christians, they don't really believe the book. They believe a few things about the book, but Boy, there are plenty of questions. They won't believe the book. The Bible says a wife should be obedient to her husband. Oh, no, that's old stuff. That's old stuff. They don't believe that. I'll bet you most of you women believe all your rights in America are what God wanted you to have. Have you read the book? It might change your mind. I don't believe modern America is what God wanted for Christianity. Not according to the book I read. My girls know how I teach, and so they've come to me and said, well, what do we do? I said, just like the slave. If you got freedom, use it. So you ladies, you got an awful lot of freedom in this generation. Use it. Don't abuse it, but boy, use it. Because most women that ever lived, and most of the women of the world today, do not have what you have. Most of you complain about how hard you have it. You don't even have a clue. Is the Bible right? I personally believe it's right. That's the reason why it helps me not to be weary. Because I come back, I have the truth. And what do I have to do? Okay, I've already made my 3 score years and 10. Anything I get now is just icing on the cake. It's just a little few more days. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is. I might have 5 years. I might not have a day. I've already got my 3 score and 10. I've already beat the odds. Praise the Lord. I might be preaching 25 years from now. I hope so. If the Lord hadn't come. I really hope the Lord comes tomorrow.
Amen.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
I don't have to put up with you anymore. I wouldn't get so weary in well-doing. Sometimes you really try my patience. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? This thing's going to end. What we've got down here, this is just testing ground. This is just boot camp for eternity. Oh, what a time we're going to have. About the first 10,000 years, we're just going to sing and praise Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible doesn't tell me that. That's just my opinion. Okay? You look in the Bible and tell me what we're going to do. That'll give you a good study. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know why? For in due season we shall reap. He's still talking about sowing and reaping.
Amen.
When you're doing good, when you're doing well, when you're witnessing to people, when you're standing against sin, when you're taking a stand, when you're living for God, you're sowing seed. You're sowing seed to eternal life. You don't get all the results right here. Look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You read about the great heroes in the first part of it. I don't mean to turn to it now. You read about the great heroes in the first part of it, and they're big names. And man, they withstood the devil. They caused the sun to stand still. They won great victories in battles. They slept on lions' bellies. Read the last part of that chapter. Bible says the world was not worthy of these people. They lived in caves and dens of the earth. They didn't live in air-conditioned houses. They lived in caves for their testimony. Because they were Christian, because they stood for God, they lost everything. Some of them were torn with lions and tigers and animals. Some of them were torn apart. Some of them were sawn asunder. They took saws and sawed them in two. I don't think they gave them morphine before they started doing it. Some of them were burned at the stake, and some of them were crucified even upside down. Read Fox's book of Christian Martyrs someday. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. You see, you can lose your reaping too. Just like somebody give you $1 million, you can lose it. Somebody can come by and trick you out of it. They got all sorts of schemes. And you know, it's just like wolves and things. They go after the weakest of the flock. They pick on old people. They pick on old people that not thinking too clear and everything not exactly right, but they got money in the bank. And they come up with some scheme. Oh, we're going to build this addition on your house, do this, and you give us this much money, half of it now, and then and they never show up again. Just look at your news every day. It's happening all the time. They give you a certified check off of the Bank of Dubai. If you get a bank from Dubai, forget it. Don't accept the check. Or at least don't give them any money back on it. They pick on people and they abuse them. You can lose your blessing. You can lose your fruit. And by the way, you've lived for God for so long, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to go into the world, you can lose an awful lot of blessings. You can't lose your salvation, friend. I can never go back into my mother's womb and be unborn. It's a fact. I was born 71 years ago. That's a fact. My mother had me. I will always be my mother and my father's. Those genes that came into me that made me who I am, what I am, my bald head, my fat body, a lot of other things like that, the color of my eyes, the way my voice is, and talking like a hick. I'm a Texas hick because my mother and daddy were Texas hicks. And I got it from them. Can't change that. I'll tell you what you can lose. You can lose your health. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your family. You can lose your friends. You can lose your rewards in heaven. You can go through a life of 60 years and in 1 year, wipe it all out. Do you think there's ever a crop that just gets burned? I wonder if anybody's crops got burned out in California this last week. Well, I'll bet you they did. I'll bet you there's olive trees and fruit trees. I'll bet you there's pecan trees. I bet you there's some beautiful orchards that got wiped out in those hundreds of thousands of acres of land, in those 1,800 homes that were destroyed. Oh, I'll bet you. I'll bet you somebody had planted and worked and sown and invested, and it's gone. And I bet most of it wasn't insured either. Well, same thing with spiritual things, friend. You sow to the flesh, you're going to lose spiritual blessings. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to gain spiritual blessings. But anytime you decide, I'm through, I quit, it's too much, I'm too weary, I'm just too tired, I'm not going any further this way, you lose. You lose. And you lose big time. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. That's an encouragement to Christian workers. That's an encouragement to people of faith. That's an encouragement to you when everything's going wrong for you and you've been trying to live right. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, God's season, God's time. Now, I'm always in a hurry. I have lived my life, my 70 years, in a hurry. You can ask my wife. I'm early almost everywhere I go. Anytime I'm on time, people think I'm late. So due season, I don't like waiting. Do you? Are you real good at waiting? But it's due season when it comes to due. All my kids are grown. Thank the Lord for them. I love them, every one. Sure took me a long time to get them there, though. Man, I would talk to them and talk to them and talk to them, and they could not see it. They just couldn't see it. My daddy had an answer to that. He said, you can't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. That was his answer. You can't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. You wish you could. I wish with the brains of 40 he had the energy of 17. Now, wouldn't that be something? Let's not be weary in well-doing, brethren, for we shall reap. But it's in due season. It's in due season. You don't just go out and plant the tomatoes, tomato plants, and tomorrow reap tomatoes. No, it's several months down the line. And you may have to fight a whole bunch of bugs, and you might have to fight weeds and Johnson grass and all sorts of things and weather. You may have to water them day after day, and that water costs a lot of money, especially living in San Antonio. But you don't get the harvest till the due season. So don't be weary. Some of you are in a fight right now. You're in a struggle. You don't know how you're going to work out your family. You don't know how you're going to work out things with your kids. You don't know how you're going to work out things about your job. You don't know how you're going to work out things about your health. And you've been trying to trust God, but you're weary of what He told you was. He understands. Don't be weary. You're going to reap. You be faithful to God. In due season, you'll get your reward. Lord bless you.